Would take your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to read from verse 18 through the end of the chapter. And you might notice that we're going to be talking about, for a few moments, how did the cross get its power? And the idea of the cross having power, you'll see mentioned in verse 18 and verse 24. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it's written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The passage talks about how the world saw the cross. They didn't see any way that it could be a plan of salvation for mankind. How could it be? The cross, you think about what the cross was, a shameful, painful way of execution for a criminal, something reserved for the worst of the worst, weak, based, and despised. Those are the words that Paul chose to describe how the cross was looked at. Foolish. I mean, you're going to save mankind through crucifixion? That doesn't even make sense. Again, the kind of death that's shameful, reserved for the worst of the worst criminal, that's a way of salvation? How can that be? How can there be any power in the cross? How'd the cross get its power? It's certainly not from the act of execution itself, but the person who was on the cross is what gives the crucifixion power. There were those crucified before Jesus, and there were those crucified after Jesus, and their crucifixions did nothing to supply anything for man's salvation. It was the person that was on the cross. Paul says we preach Christ crucified. Not just anybody crucified, but we preach Christ crucified. The cross gets its power because of the nature of the person who was there on that cross, the divine nature that the cross represents, a divine offering, the Father offering his son, the son offering himself. The book of Hebrews has a lot to say about the nature of Jesus Christ. We'll look to Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. He became lower than the angels because before that he was higher than the angels. He created the angels. He was in the beginning with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, involved in the creation. But for a little while, he became lower, and he suffered that painful death on the cross so that by the grace of God, he could taste death for every one of us. So the nature, the divine nature of the one on the cross gives the cross tremendous power compared to any other crucifixion before or after. That's the world was just looking at the cross itself or the nature of crucifixion and not the nature of the one on the cross. How did the cross get its power? The innocence, the sinless life of the one who hung there and suffered and died. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, a simple short summation of the power of the sinless life of Jesus to take the place of those like you and I who are sinners. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All others that suffered the cross, just like the one of that hung there beside Jesus, said that we're guilty. Jesus had no sin at all. Not only had he not committed a crime to be worthy of death, he had not ever sinned. He knew no sin. But he was made by the Father to be sin on our behalf, to take the penalty that we deserved so that we could become righteous. We could become righteous not because we're perfect, but because we're forgiven. So what's the power of the cross? A divine, innocent person being crucified. The obedience of Jesus, the one on the cross, gives power to the cross. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. As we just mentioned, we're talking about a sinless life. But one of the greatest tests to his sinlessness was right there on the cross itself. As he was being tested, was he going to drink the cup that the Father asked him to drink? Or was he going to listen to the cries of those who mocked him and said, if you're the Son of God, just come on off the cross? And certainly the humiliation and the shame was great. The pain was beyond comprehension. There would have been a temptation to not continue that suffering, because he certainly did have the power to remove himself from that awful, dark, and painful situation. But his obedience was put to the ultimate test there on the cross, and he learned obedience through that suffering, and he became complete, or as it were, mature from that suffering. It was a perfection of his obedience, and that's why he has such power to give to those who would obey him eternal salvation. The cross gets its power because the one on the cross showed great character, and the thing that stands out the most is his matchless love. The matchless love of the one on the cross gives the cross power. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 talk about the power of the cross, the love shown by the cross in the life of every disciple. It's what causes men to be disciples of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us, constrains us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. It's a tremendous love that was shown on that instrument of execution. One who didn't have to be there, one who was God, one who was sinless, one who was showing perfect obedience, one who was there because he wanted to be there, because he loved you and I, and the Father loved you and I, so that Jesus was suffering on that cross. And Paul says we can't do anything else but give our life to him because he gave his life for us. And every week at this time, when we're taking the Lord's Supper, that's what we're reminded of. We are giving our life as a disciple Sunday to Sunday for this reason, for the cross. This love constrains us. It compels us. We can't do anything else but to do that. And that's why it's so important to be continually reminded of the reason for our discipleship, the power of the cross, because of the one who died there. And so Christ became to us, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, wisdom from God. Men looked at the cross again, weak and base, despised, foolish. But God came up with a plan to save us that his wisdom is far higher than man's. Even his foolishness, so to speak, as he has really no foolishness, but if he had any foolishness, Paul said, even his foolishness would be wiser than men. Men could not have come up with this in their mind at all, this way that God came up with to save us from our sins. Jesus became righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I've just simply summed it up. God's way of salvation was the cross, was to make us right, to make us holy, and to make us free. And the cross is God's plan to accomplish that. And every time we think of the cross, including the time for the Lord's Supper, we're humble. Because he didn't come up with a plan to save us that only the smartest people could figure out. Because the boasting would be in man, the smartest people, or the richest people. Oh, you pay your way in. Well, then you could boast, well, I paid my way in. So there's nothing of a human nature. And so therefore he said that the cross many times doesn't attract the high and mighty. Because being high and mighty and smart and clever is not going to save you. But he picked a plan to put everybody on the same level. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you have high education, low education. There's all the boasting has to be in the Lord, the way that this plan was devised by God in his eternal wisdom, and Jesus carried it out on the cross with such great power for those of us who believe. So the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who haven't accepted the message. It's foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, who are remembering the Lord and the Lord's Supper and the bread and the fruit of the vine, it's the power of God. And that's what we're here to remember, the power of God. And so this morning, let us reflect on the power of the cross as we partake of the emblems together. And let's remember, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.